for you, Father. Thank you again for your presence this morning. Thank you for this time together in your word. We thank you for the strength of the believer, the faith of the believer, and the power that comes into the believer's life as they receive the word of God. We thank you today that we've placed ourselves in a position whereby we can hear from you. It is my prayer today, Father, that the people will not just hear me, but they will hear your voice. So, God, I thank you that as a result of sitting under the word and hearing what you're saying to us, our lives will be the better. We receive it by faith, and we call it done. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you say amen? All right, John 10 and 10. Let's read this together, beloveds. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Read it one more time yourselves again before you take your seat. Go ahead.
The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill
and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you so very much. It's very, very important that as a senior pastor, as the leader of the church, that we are able to understand what it is that God is saying to us and what is the role and the responsibility and what is it that God is expecting from the church. Now, before you get too nervous, and not that you necessarily will, this message is not just about the election, but as the senior pastor, there are portions of it relative to the election that I need to mention and talk about, and so we can hear what it is that God really wants us to hear and what he wants us to actually know about it. Because really, y'all, it's evident that our country is dealing with the element of surprise, dealing with the element of shock, unbelief, denial, disappointment, anger, sorrow, pain, and not to mention division. So there are a lot of things that our country is dealing with, and I want you to know that as a country, we would be walking through and dealing with these feelings of frustration if Hillary got elected. If an independent got elected, we would still be dealing with these feelings of frustration and even some disappointment. Now, with no disrespect intended at all, we would be at this place we are right now, no matter who was elected. Because there are a lot of people. I know it'll take y'all a minute to come around. Okay, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it. Okay, there are a lot of people, and in particular God's people, who are hoping for the voice that's coming from the White House more than you're hoping to hear the voice that's coming from God's house. And when I say the voice that's coming from God's house, I'm really saying the voice of God that's coming from our own house. And you might be saying, what? The voice coming from the White House versus the voices coming from our house? Yes, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, if you would. 1 Corinthians 6 and 19. Look at this here. What? And that's what I just said. I know we're probably saying what? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? And you're not your own. You're not left to walk through, deal with, handle, and figure this out by yourself. Your body is the temple. It is the dwelling place. It is the residence for God. Not only that, stay with me for just a moment. Let's go over to John chapter 1 and verse 1, because John 1 and 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So your body is the place, y'all, where the voice of God resides. So what I want to do today is talk to you about hearing the voice of God. And my objective is to help you follow the voice of God, not as an isolated incident, not because of an event, but to learn how to follow the voice of God as a lifestyle. Okay? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So again, my body is the place where the voice of God resides. And there's so many different voices that people are dealing with because information is coming from every direction. And it's coming from so many different sources. And even God's people are inundated with voices that are really coming from everywhere. And if we're not careful, all of these other voices that we're having to deal with can drown out the voice of God. And it's going to be very, very important that we know how to hear the voice of God. And a lot of people are struggling because they want the voice from the White House to be the voice that determines their destiny, as opposed to the voice that's coming from God's house. Some people are registered Democrats, registered Republicans, registered independent. Some people voted along party lines. Some people, no matter what your party affiliation was, you went into the booth and voted the other direction. Some people said, I don't like Hillary. I don't like Donald. I don't like the frustration. I don't like none of them. As a matter of fact, ain't nobody going to say I elected either one of them, so I ain't going to vote. Period. So there were all different positions that people have taken for whatever reason or another. But all of these positions, in many cases, are taken by a lot of people based on the voices that they're listening to and what they're hearing. And God wants us in the midst of all of that to make sure that we hear the voice of God. Now, I may not be able to control who or what goes on in the White House, but I can control what goes on in my house. I can control, listen, y'all, I can control who gets my time. I can control who gets my attention. And I can control who gets my wisdom. And you got to be able to understand that in this hour, too, because some people really are not trying to be in your life because they want God. Some people are trying to be in your life because they want you to be God. And that's one of the disappointments that we have and what has happened is because we're trying to turn the image of man into the image of God. Men's hearts are failing them because of fear. People don't know what to do, don't know which way to go. But that's not supposed to be the place or the platform for God's people, because I believe in all of my heart that everything that is happening, God has set the stage for the church to take its God-ordained, delegated position of authority and be able to speak. This is not about going left or going right or just trying to be moderate or be liberal and stay in the middle. It is all about what God has set up for the most powerful institution on the planet to be able to represent God. And y'all, the question is not, why didn't Hillary get in the White House? The question is not, why is Donald Trump the next president? The question should be, can God use a flawed man or woman to turn the hearts of his people back to him? But we're so busy with the individuals and the party affiliation and what is going on until we're not paying any attention to what God is really saying. Can God use a flawed man or a flawed woman to turn the hearts of people back to God? And before you answer that question, you might want to read the Bible. Because from Genesis to Revelation, there were all kinds of people like that. Now, you may not want to believe this, but I'm going to tell it to you anyway because it's the truth. Hillary Clinton needs God. Donald Trump needs God. And if you want to accept it or not, you need God too. Look at two people and tell them, I need to be able to hear the voice of God. And tell them we all need God. So when I read the Bible, it's so powerful. It's so interesting. And I just need you to know, and I'm not ashamed of it, I'm not a fan of Donald Trump. But it ain't about me being a fan of Donald Trump. It's much deeper than that. When I read the Bible, God had a lot of Donald Trumps in it. And I'm not judging him. I'm just telling you the truth. There were a lot of Donald Trumps in the Bible that were risen up. There were a lot of Hillary Clintons in the Bible that were risen up. And even though there were a lot of Clintons and a lot of Trumps, none of them in the Bible stopped God from being God. God is still God no matter who's in that White House, because he's God because who's in our house. Now we respect them. We respect the voice of authority. We respect the leaders of our country. We respect democracy. We honor it. We pray for it. We believe God for it. But I'm telling you right now, if people have never prayed before, it's a whole lot of people praying right now. And they saying, child, it's time to pray. Lord, we better pray. Lord, we better fast. We better do this. And let me tell you something. There have been a lot of people saying the same thing if Hillary had got elected. Lord, it's time to pray. Lord, we better pray now. And what are you saying? God is using them to turn the hearts of the people back to him. We got to be able to hear the voice of God. And I want y'all to know something. This message is not about the presidential election. This message is about perfection. And perfection is to bring a thing to a place of maturity, a place of growth. And we've got to bring being able to hear the voice of God to a place of maturity in our life, a place of growth. We got to be able to do that. And God wants us to get this. Romans 8 and 14. This is interesting. Let's look at this. Check this out. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? All right. Now, notice what it says. For as many as are. For as many as are, which means it is possible to be filled with the Spirit of God and not be controlled by the spirit you're filled with. And the reason it is possible to be filled with the Spirit of God and not be controlled by it is because to be controlled by it is to submit to it. And there are a lot of people that have God's Spirit in them, but they're not submitted, or they don't come under the voice that speaks to them. God is speaking. Have you ever had a moment when God told you, tell them you're sorry and it's not your fault? And you'd be like, oh no. You ever had a moment when God told you, don't say that, and you'd be like, no, I need to straighten this out? You ever had a moment when God tell you, no, just let that go, and you'd be like, no, 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 God, I'll get back with you in a minute. If you hadn't connected yet, how about this? Let me see your hand if you're a parent. Some of you don't want to raise your hand, but they're your children. That's your child. Have you ever had a moment when you went to your child and you told your child, I want you to do ABC? Your child leaves and goes down and does something totally opposite. You call the child hand and say, didn't I tell you do ABC? No, you didn't tell me to do that. I did tell you that. I told you sitting right. I didn't hear you say that. And you know what you told them. You know they heard you. And now you got to deal with a child who done went and done what you know you told that child not to do. And that's how it is with God dealing with y'all. Full of the Spirit, as a parent, he'll give us what to do. Tell us what to do. And then we go do something. God, I didn't know. No, you didn't say it. God said, yes, I did. Well, Lord, I didn't hear you say that. You heard me say it. And then God is left with having to deal with a child who's gone and done what the Lord told him not to do. So everybody, please hear this, y'all. You got to get this. Because have you ever wondered how people can be saved and full of God's Spirit and just do? All right, let me find a nice, comfortable term. Well, I won't go. I'll go with crazy. I'll take that one. Crazy stuff. Because Brother Donovan, for some reason or another, Church is the only institution of organization where people can act a fool and get away with it. Because nobody calls their hand. You're not going to go to the folk job and turn it out and keep a job. I don't know what you're talking about, Bishop. This company need me. They hired me for my expertise. Well, let me share something with you to help you keep your job for a minute. If you and I are both on level one, we're both trying to get promoted to level two. You get promoted to level two before I do. Just because you get to level two don't mean you know everything about level two. And the worst thing you could do is go to the next level and walk up in there like you know everything about being there. You can't know everything about being there. You just got there. Now, mind you, you know everything about level one, but you ain't on one no more. So the worst thing you can do is go through life and act like you know everything about it. That's why God has to live in you. And just because God does something for me, elevates me, increases me, I can't walk around with God like I know so much that God don't need to speak to me and tell me what to do. And by the way, God, whatever you do, tell me what to do. I know what to do because after all, if I didn't know what to do, you would have never put me here, remember? Thank you. Touch your neighbor and say, I got to be able to hear the voice of God. Say, I got to bring being able to hear the voice of God to a place of maturity and a place of growth in my life. Say, I've got to submit. Because y'all, mature believers are not controlled by stuff that's going on the outside. Mature believers are controlled by what's going on inside. Your body is a place where the Spirit of God actually resides. And the prayer series that we just came out of really just did a whole lot for me. I mean, it helped my personal walk with God, helped me out in so many different ways, and it's made me even a better person. Think about this for just a moment. God has uniquely made us humans. Uniquely made us humans. Just think about it for a moment, because this is very important to me. It's very important to other people, and I want you to get this. Look at your neighbor and say, "Stay with him now. Stay with him." I want you to allow yourself to be taught to hear the voice of God. Now, the thing about being uniquely human is that we can be uniquely human and still be so bad at it. Uniquely human beings and be bad at it. And you would think that since God made us uniquely human, we'd be good at it. But you'd be surprised at the number of people who really don't know who they are. We are the only species that I'm aware of that God created on the planet that doesn't know what God created them to do. Even though he uniquely created everything. You don't see the lion running around talking about, I'm the king of the jungle. But I'm just not feeling like God is using me like he wants to. We got a lot of deer on this property everywhere. And I see them all the time. But I don't see the deer running across the property looking at me, talking about, Bishop, it's got to be more to life than this. You got birds flying over your house, flying all around. You don't see the birds flying around talking about, oh, I want to be a painter. But I don't have no hands, so I can't paint. I was looking at a program a couple weeks ago, giraffes, and they just eating the leaves off the tree, y'all. Just looking all around, just as happy as they could be. But giraffes don't stand around and talk about, look at these long legs I got. I want to be a dancer. But won't nobody teach me to dance? And God made us humans.
Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. What I'm supposed to be. Oh, Hillary. Oh, Trump. Oh, in the back. What are we going to do? Oh, my God.
And on top of that, born again, spirit-filled, Bible-believing, Holy Ghost, fire-baptized believers are running around, don't know who they are. You got the presence of God, the voice of God residing in you, and you don't know who you are. Well, I know I'm supposed to be strong, but what you said hurt my feelings. I know I'm supposed to be a leader, but they talk about my leadership. And they hired me to do this job, and it's like everybody's fighting against me and kicking against me. It's a devil this and devil that. Don't know who we are. And one of the reasons you don't know who you are is because you're trusting the wrong voices. Touch your neighbor and say, I got to be able to hear from God. I got to be able to hear from God. Well, I'm a Democrat. I'm a Republican. I'm an independent. I'm for Hillary. I'm for Donald. No, I ain't no voter. No, that's my voter registration class. That was my preference as a candidate, but that's not who I am. I'm a born-again, spirit-filled believer. I'm a child of the living God. Ask two people, do you really know who you are? Do you really know who you are? So why in the world are we struggling as human beings? Why is it so hard to be who God said we are? Why is it so hard to know who we are? Have you ever listened to the voices in your head, like the voice says, you can do it, and the other voice be like, no, you can't. One voice says, you can handle that job. You're not going to be able to do that. No, you can't. One voice says, God's going to bless you, and you're going to have a beautiful husband and a great family. No, you ain't. Nobody wants you. But the most incredible part of my journey as a man of God is the journey that I have with God. I mean, the journey that I have with the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God, and the Word was with God. The most incredible thing, Dr. Johnson, I have is my journey with the Word. And God being able really to speak. And when I read the Word, there's just so much in it. You know, you pick up the Bible and it has so much meaning. There's so much life and so much freedom and so much victory and healing and deliverance and correction is in there. And I get so inspired. But the problem is a lot of people want to be inspired, but don't nobody want to grow and change. And today we got too much preaching and teaching, with no disrespect intended, respectfully, too much preaching and teaching that makes us feel good, but don't make us do what's right. Look at your neighbor and say, don't look away now. I think he talked to you. But John 10:10, put that back up there for me. The thief cometh not but for two. To what?
Steal.
And what?
Steal.
Now, check this out, y'all. Now, because I've been away from y'all, I ain't had a chance to talk to you. I've been really praying about it. And I said, Lord, I got to be careful about how I address this, because we got members who are of different party affiliations. People got different opinions. Our members are dealing with different things, and they got different things going on. And so, Lord, I said, I got to really get this right. And the Lord just called me and said, you don't have to get this right. You just have to say what I tell you to say. See, that's some of the challenge. sometimes trying to get it right. And, you know, and so I'm looking at, you know, well, it was this, whether it was that, it was this. And God said, it's me. The problem is they're not listening to me. And you don't have to be a person that's not saved for God to say you're not listening to me. Because there are too many of God's people making mistakes because they don't know how to hear the voice of God. Not because they're bad people, but they don't know how to hear the voice of God. But these words are, y'all, are so very important, because check this out. The Bible says that there's a thief that's coming. There's a thief that's coming. Listen to me now. Everybody, listen. There's a thief that's coming, and he ain't coming for nothing. He's coming to steal. Look at your neighbor and say, this is going to help you out with a lot of what you got going on right now. Tell them. Tell the person on the other side, this is going to help you out with a lot of what you got going on right now. He's coming to steal something from me. And if God is telling me that a thief is coming to steal from me, I want to know how he's coming. I want to know what he's coming for, and I want to know what's going on so I know what to do. I don't want to be laid back and God telling me that's a thief coming to steal from you and I just be chilling. Oh, bitch, ain't nobody stealing nothing from me. But we don't pay no attention to that. You pay more attention to the thief that's coming than you think. See, this is it. We pay attention to the natural thief that's coming. If you don't believe me, check this out. How many of you go to bed at night and leave your window up and leave your door open? How many of you, when you get out of your car, don't lock it, don't set the alarm? How many of you with your cell phone don't put no security code in it, don't care if anybody get it, if anybody use it? No, we care about the thief. It's just the thief that we care about that's coming. So we got alarms for the house, alarm for the car, alarm for the cell phone. You got to have codes, programming, and all of that to deal with it so folk can't get in it. But yet when it comes down to your life, the thief can just walk right up into your life without no code, without any access, and start speaking to you, speaking to your family, speaking to your career, speaking to what God's called you to do, speaking to what you're believing God for, and ain't got to go through nothing. And Jesus said, listen. There's a thief coming. Years ago, before we built this church and we were at Garden Street, we brought a riding lawnmower, brand new riding lawnmower. And we brought the new riding lawnmower and we brought it, and we didn't have no shed to put it in. I don't know what we was thinking. Buy a brand new riding lawnmower and just sit it beside the church? I guess we were thinking God keep everything. So we set the lawnmower beside the church, and I mean, for a minute, man, that thing worked. Until the thief came. And it just so happened that the thief came the night when Deacon Dale was riding by the church. And Deacon Dale's riding by, and he see these lights shining from behind the church. So Dale said, what are them lights doing shining from behind the church? So he drives in and gets down there, and lo, there's a U-Haul truck. A U-Haul truck backed in behind the church. And a guy's over there getting the lawnmower to put it on the truck. So Dale asks him this great question. Hey, man, what you doing to the lawnmower? And he has this unbelievable answer. He tells Deacon Dale, I was just checking it out. Dale, right there, you can ask him. And Dale's like, man, no, you can't check this out. That's the church lawnmower, man. Oh, okay. So the guy's scrambling around, you know, getting back up in the truck. So Dale jumps in his vehicle and he's following behind the guy. He's calling the law and everything. Then he called me and he told me, I don't know what he planned to do if he catches the truck. But for some reason or other, he felt led to chase the truck. So he chased the truck and he called me and I say, did you call the police? He said, yeah, I called the police. I said, what did the police say? The police said they got him. They gonna cut him out. I said, well, Dale, you leave the truck alone. Go the other way. Let them take care of the truck. You got the lawnmower. But
But the point of the matter was, a thief was trying to take something and he felt violated and he was responding. And Jesus is trying to tell you there's a thief coming that's going to steal more than your car, more than your house, more than your lawnmower. He's going to try to steal your life. And folks' lives are being stolen
because they got no codes, no security systems. And any and everything is walking up and stealing your life from you. But Jesus says, I'm the life giver. I come that you might have life and that you might have life in abundance. Please listen to me, y'all. The word of God is the mind of God at work. It's not what you hear that blesses you. It's what you do with what you hear that blesses you. Why would Jesus say, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly? Why would he come to give me something that I already got? Because he knows that there's a thief that's coming to try to steal what you got. And he said, but this is what you need to get. I'm going to give you what you think you got that you don't know you got the way you really need to have it. But you think you got it. And if you have to deal with a stealing, killing, and destroying situation, I am the restorer. I am the giver. I am the advancer. I am the one that improves the quality of life. But how does the devil steal? How does he steal? How does he steal? Go back to 10 and 10, please. St. John 10 and 10. How does he steal? But the Lord said he coming. He coming. But how is he coming? He's coming, but how's 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 he coming? Well, verse 10 is connected all the way back to verse 9. 9 is connected to 8, to 7, to 6, to 5, all the way to 1. So let's go find out how he's coming. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. Prior to this verse of scripture, there was a big argument about a blind man that Jesus had healed. And the religious leaders and the political leaders of that day were upset over the fact that Jesus had healed this man. And they began to mistreat him, treat him harshly, treat his family harshly, to really abuse them and talk harsh to them and treat them wrong. And Jesus saw the need to show the contrast between the heart of God and the heart of shepherds and people who were not like God. He saw the need to show the contrast between the work that he was doing and the work that others do. And he said, listen, anybody that forces, sneaks, tricks, schemes, and makes their way into the door of your life other than coming the way of the shepherd that has a heart for God and a heart for you is a thief and a robber. And we let folk in our life that don't even go through God to get there. And Jesus says, not that folk won't come. Get this, y'all. Here I am. He says, folk will get in your life, but they find other ways to get there than through the way they're supposed to come. They don't come through God like they're supposed to. They creep up. They sneak up. They scheme up. Use their systems, their power, and their influence to get inside of your life. How? With their voice. And Jesus says those that come talking stuff that's not like God, they get in folk lives, but they are thief and robbers. Two, a little more. But he that entereth in by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. I come in. I don't have to drive you. I lead you. Another verse, please. Thank you, Lord. To him the porter openeth. The way I come in, the true shepherd, you really open for him. You know, God says when there's a true witness, you don't have to figure out how to get your life open behind the scene. If there ain't no true peace about it, I don't care how good it sounds. Don't feel like you just got to move. And listen, y'all, the sheep hear the voice of the Lord. Why? Because he calls them by their own name. and he leads them out. God said, we got to perfect being able to hear his voice. God says, I know you so well, out of all of my sheep, I call you by your name. And my sheep know when I'm calling them. Next verse, 4. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Jesus says, when I'm leading you, I don't lead you and run off in another direction. I don't tell you one thing and go do something else. I don't make it look like it's going to be this, and I go do something. He said, no, you ain't going to have to struggle to follow me. I lead and you follow. Because there's a trust relationship there. Wow. And when I'm all over the place listening to a whole bunch of different voices here and there, I'm not hearing God, I'm hearing voices. They know his voice. 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 You know your code. You know your security. You know your key. You know the door. You know when to go in. You know when to lock it. You know when to shut it down. They hear his voice. They hear his voice. They hear his voice. Y'all know your code so well that you don't even have to write them down. And if you know your code to your house that well, you ought to know the voice of God. And Jesus says, my sheep know that. You know why? Because I live in them. My voice resides in them. My voice resonates with you. Another verse, please. And a stranger. Stop going crazy because strangers exist. I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know what we're going to do. Y'all better pray. When Jesus says the key to dealing with a stranger is not to follow him. Not to fuss, not to argue. Well, I tell you right now, my name is Bishop Millett. I'll tell you right now, I don't care what your registration, your affiliation is. I don't care what you vote for. I'm telling you right now, what the Lord said. I'm a bishop. Why you got to prove all that? You just, after all that talking, the true test is who you're going to follow. Who you going to follow? Can God use flawed people to turn the hearts of his people back to him? You might want to ask yourself, where did you used to be? That's all I'm saying. They, Minister Johnson, they know not the voice of strangers. You know why they don't know the voice of strangers? Because they don't spend time with them. It don't mean that they don't know what it sounds like. It means that they don't know it. In other words, you say they don't know it. They don't follow it. Come on, girl. Your mama don't care. Your mama and them like me. They trust me. You ain't got to tell them everything. When you going to be your own woman? You got to make your own decision sometime. My parents let me make my own decision. That's how I learned to be who I am. Why don't you ask your daddy and them? Won't they let you make your own decision? Matter of fact, just tell them, let me be me. Let me do me. You mean you want me to sit here and watch you run in front of a truck? In the name of letting you do you? No. And Dr. Johnson, we fussing and arguing and debating and going back and forth. And the Lord said, why y'all getting all out of character? Acting like this moment won't create it for you. Like you don't know who you are and what you're supposed to do. Y'all know exactly what y'all supposed to do. Y'all going to do the same thing before the election took place. You're going to be a child of God. Listen to me. You're going to be a child of God. How in the world is Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, or any other person in the House, the Senate, the Congress, or anywhere, how are they ever going to know God if Christians stop being Christians? Give me another verse, please, so I can close. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And Jesus said this to them. But they did not understand the things that he was saying when he spoke it to them. Because in biblical times, they referred to politicians and certain religious leaders as shepherds too. And Jesus said there's a difference in the good shepherd and the bad shepherd. Look at Isaiah. Turn to Isaiah 56, chapter 56 and verse 11 right quick. Let me just show you this right quick. We'll move on. Isaiah 56, chapter 56 and verse 11. Look at this, y'all. This is what Jesus, the Lord was saying about folk who ain't good shepherds. Yea, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough. And they lead people. People follow them. But they are shepherds that cannot. They all look. Everyone. For whatever is going on right now in this season or in this quarter. Now, the reason we're a little bent is because we don't really read the Bible. This ain't a negative message. This ain't a get on you message. This is a set you free message. These are things you're not going to know if you don't read the Bible. Because if you don't read the Bible, you're going to be reading the TV. I fell asleep a week ago, left the TV on, listening to the news when they talking about, you know, and bro Ray, I fell out, knocked out, sleep, man. And in my dream, I dreamed I was a president. And see how y'all clapping right now? Now y'all know I ain't gonna be no president. Now I'm not being negative. I'm not saying I can't. I'm just saying, you know, I'm not gonna, if God called me to be the pastor, I'm not trying to be no president. But see, I listened to that stuff so much until I said, man, we don't need no Hillary. We don't need no Clinton. No Trump. We don't need none of them. I was gonna be the president. And I done fooled around that brother Donovan in my sleep, listening to those voices through the TV in my subconscious. And I was so fed up until I dreamed I was the man. Look at two people and just say voices, voices, voices. You need to get this, y'all. Now, Jesus said that he's the shepherd and the gate, and the thief comes, and when the thief comes, he speaks. And if you listen to the voice of the thief, it's going to pull you into death and darkness. Spiritually, it'll drain you. Jesus said, but my sheep hear my voice, because when God created everything, he did it with his voice. He spoke it. He said, let there be, and it was. In other words, Pastor Johnson, as you well know, God made a declaration. And everything came out of his voice. So you and I came out of the voice of God. So we were designed to resonate with God's voice. You're supposed to know it, but when you get out of place and you get off, you leave a space and a place in your life for voices to speak to you that are not the voice of God. And when we don't grow our relationship with Jesus, it creates that space and place in our life. But you got to cast down all those thoughts that are not like God. Because the voices that get into your life is what the thief uses to steal your life from you. And this is what God helped me to understand, Brother White, in putting this together. He said, people don't realize that the thief that's coming to steal is the thief that comes in the form of voices. And Jesus pointed it out. He said, watch the thief. And this is how you know the thief. They talk stuff that's not me. They speak stuff that's not me. And y'all get your life stolen from you when you go following folk who's got voices that don't represent me. Your life is being stolen not because somebody breaking in and taking your stuff. Your life is being stolen because the voices that you're listening to. Yeah. And in this hour, don't let what's coming on the news, what's in the paper, and what they're spewing all across the radio. I'm not saying being ignorant and don't listen to anything. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that's not the voice y'all are supposed to be listening to. Don't you know that the media has a vested interest? If they stop keeping, you know, drama going, y'all ain't gonna watch the news. Do you know how soon the news would go out of business if it turned it on, the 6 o'clock news came on and say, well, today, thousands of people got saved. Nobody got shot in Sanford. Nothing was stolen from a grocery store. Hundreds of people were nice to each other and holding the doors for each other. By the way, people became friends that had been enemies for such a long time. And there's somebody that just going around giving away $100 bills. You know how long that news station would stay in business? But they get on there. Oh, Lord, breaking news, breaking news, breaking news, breaking news. Don't go nowhere. Stay right there. You got to hear this. You ain't going to believe it. By the way, it's coming out of Lee County. What? And you're supposed to be on your way to church. Breaking news, breaking news, breaking news. Then you pull your iPad out because you got to hurry up and make sure you be the one that report the breaking news. You tell the truth. You know what, child? So-and-so is doing so much better. Lord, I saw her and she looked good. Turn the page. Girl, I saw so-and-so, she tore up. Child, her hair wasn't done. She looked, I think she owned something. Where did you see her at? What was she wearing? What? Y'all ain't gonna believe it. I just talked to so-and-so and they said so-and-so toe slap up. Yeah, toe from the flow up, toe up. Said she, her hair done fell out. Now here you go embellishing. Now I'm gonna say this off the record and get back on track. It is one thing, listen y'all, it is one thing. It is one thing to have and deal with a woman that's nosy, but a nosy man? Mr. Ferguson, you got to pray for me, man. I'm sorry. I mean, God, Jesus Christ. Bro Wilkinson, pray for me. I'm sorry, man. Y'all, Miles, pray for me, man. Hooker, y'all, I'm sorry. Seriously, y'all, just, I mean, Tremaine. A nosy man? It's like we were built to deal with, no disrespect, ladies. It's like we were built to handle women that need to know. But a man? They told me her toe up, man. Toe up from the floor up, man. She done lost all hair, cheering. What, a man? Touch two people and say, please pray for our pastor. Please, please pray for our pastor. I got to close. What voices have made their way into your life? What are you saying, Bishop? There are some people who ain't even in your life no more, but their voice is still affecting you. Their voice is still in your life, stealing from you, and they've been gone. The election is over. What is God saying? That's why Jesus said, I've come to give you life. Because when Jesus speaks, he silences all of those other voices that are trying to steal from you. And if you allow the voice of God to form you, he'll give you life in every season and every situation in your life. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8 and 11, my final scripture. Genesis 3, 8 and 11. Look at this, y'all. I'll come right back. This is Adam and Eve in the garden. Check this out, y'all. And they heard the voice of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Verse 9, please. Thank you. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Uh-huh. Verse 10. Here we go. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Finally, verse 11. And he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? Adam and Eve have a, go back to verse 8, have literally an incredible relationship with God. But when they got off path, and when you take the wrong path in life, this is what happens, okay? Now, let's look at what happens. Visit it again. Adam and Eve heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden. Listen, they were so in tune with God's voice that they could hear him walking. In other words, they were so in tune with God's voice that they knew when he was coming. And this is how it's supposed to be in the life of the believer. You're supposed to know when God is coming. So if God has shown up through Hillary, through Trump, or through an independent, believers ought to know God is coming. Because you're living in a day where men's hearts are failing them because of fear. And God said, when you see that, know that the time is near. And saints, God's people, God is coming and we don't even hear him. Because all of these other voices got us where we can't hear him coming. And they said, Lord, you coming to God? It's cooler today. And Adam and his wife hid. Now notice something. Even when they were in trouble, they still knew he was coming. And God's people ain't got no reason to be running around because trouble is in the land acting like God ain't coming. God is coming. Listen, y'all, please hear me. You are on the verge of one of the most incredible transfer systems that you have ever witnessed in your life. God is trying to set the stage for his people, and we're too busy running with fear and listening to other voices and being stressed out and being angry and being upset and fussing. And I understand how you feel about who's being placed in the cabinets and who's being placed around. I'm with all of that. I feel the same way, but none of that replaces God. And God said, why are we acting like we don't know he coming? We know he coming. Come on, church. This is a time for believers to be shining, to be standing firm, and not to be like, I tell you right now, I prophesied Donald Trump is going to win. I prophesied Hillary is going to win. I prophesied, and now one of them is going to win. What does my prophecy got to do with God still coming? Listen to me. But see, if I'm not careful, I run around. Oh, Lord, that Donald Trump, them Republicans, I tell you the truth, them Democrats, them independents, I tell you the truth. And God ain't being mentioned nowhere. And we're spewing and passing on hate, passing on disgust, passing on frustration, passing on feelings. And listen, because y'all are saved, there's some folk that gonna believe you whether you are right or wrong. And you spewing stuff. And somebody, is your voice is gonna fall on somebody's ears. And church folk are part, done got caught up in something that we're supposed to speak to. But our feelings, you're so committed to your feelings and your traditions until the opportunity that God is providing, you're about to miss it. Because you're so stuck to your party. You're stuck to what people have done and the way they've done it until God can't even be seen in the midst of it. It's God's hand at work.
That's a teacher. Yes, sir.
But you've been a Democrat all your life. You've been a Republican all your life. You've hated politics all your life. You don't even, you, people have died, bled, and suffered in many ways for you to vote. And you're so frustrated that you won't even vote. What in the world has happened to you that you're so frustrated with the systems until you don't hear God? I don't care if you go there and don't vote for nobody. At least, if you, Lord, if you don't do nothing but go there and take the ballot and slide it in the machine blank. But what has happened to you until you can't function? You're angry, you're upset, you feel it, and rightfully so. I understand that you are human. But God is still God. And we got to hear the voice of God. And here we are. Humans, but acting all inhumane. We treat people terrible. I don't mean no harm. Give me five more minutes. We treat people terrible, and we humans. We psychotic. On medication. Medication that you're supposed to be on. And medication, y'all fill in the blank. We're getting counseling. We're in therapy. Nothing wrong with counseling, nothing wrong with therapy. We got all this stuff going on because we don't know who we're supposed to be. I'm a child of the living God. I've been bought, paid for with the blood of Jesus Christ. I am saved, healed, delivered, and set free from all of my sin. My name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I have an obligation to be a witness for everywhere that I go. This light that I have, I'm going to let it shine. And I got more to say than I was an Aggie born, Aggie bred, and when I die, I'm going to be an Aggie dead. Aggie born, Aggie bred. When I die, I'll be an Aggie dead. Did it come time to stand up for God? I don't know if the Lord's going to do it or not. Oh, but you're going to the tailgate. Come hell or high water, you're going to the tailgate. You may not be, you may not pay your cell phone bill, but you're going to be at the, you're going to be at homecoming. Oh yeah, y'all not playing me. I'm done. You're not playing me. When you was in the world, oh, didn't nothing stop you from partying? Oh yeah. Oh no, you going to the club? Oh no, you going to the club? You going? Oh no, you going to the club? When you want to sneak out with your little boy or your little girl before you got saved, you found a way to trick your mom and them's. When you want to do something at the game and get to the stadium, get to the bathroom, or go behind the school in the woods, oh, you found a way to get it done. When you want to take a little sip, you found something to chew, something to put in your mouth, think that they ain't going to smell the liquor because you put a peppermint magnifies alcohol. What's wrong with you? You don't go run, smoke cigarettes, and then spray hairspray. Spraying stuff all over you. The point I'm trying to make, Sister Pam, is when we were unsaved, we made stuff happen. And wasn't nothing going to stand in our way. Now folk are saved, got the word of God, the power of God, and get a headache and can't come to church. And for God's sake, don't get up and let it be raining. Ooh, it's cold. Sure, it's getting cold. Folk ain't at church today because they start telling themselves last night, it's going to be cold tomorrow.
It's going to be cold tomorrow. It's going to be cold tomorrow. They say it's supposed to warm up next week. I'm going to church next week.
But now, Brother Wilkin, we saved, filled with the Holy Ghost and everything. And listen, got God in our life and can't go through nothing. Can't nobody lie on you. Can't nobody talk about you. Can't nobody misunderstand you. Can't nobody treat you wrong. Can't nobody not do right by you. Anything that happened to you as a believer, it just does something to you. But when you were in the world, folk could cuss you out, talk about you, flirt with your man right in front of your face. You go right back to the club next week. And now you're over here with the Lord. Oh, 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 oh. Touch your neighbor and say, you got to learn to hear the voice of God. Write these three things down if you're writing stuff down. If you're not writing stuff down, write these three things down. Hearing the voice of God is a weapon that God gives you to have an edge over the enemy. You hear what I say? What did I say? To have an edge over the enemy. Okay? Can't be like Adam. Adam, where are you? In other words, God wasn't saying, where are you because I don't know where you are? Where are you because I can't find you? God was saying, how you get there? How you get there? He said, Lord, I was naked. I heard you coming. So I hid myself. And God said, who told you that? Who you been listening to? What voice has made its way into your life and stolen from you what you and I have had together? The thief steals from believers today through voices. God said, I never told you you were naked. Where'd you find that out at? Who you been talking to? But your ability to hear the voice of God is a weapon that God gives you to have an edge over the enemy. And when you don't have it, you stumble and make mistakes. Number two, hearing the voice of God is not something you do only when you are in a crisis. This is what you do on a regular basis. You don't wait to your house, to your children, to your job, to your money, to your body, get in trouble to start hearing from God. Number three, the voice of God is the strength of confidence in the seasons of delay in your life, because there will be seasons when you have to wait on God to work it out. And the voice of God is the confidence that you need. And stop starting a whole bunch of stuff in your life without a clear voice from God telling you to do it. What you doing, bro? And you list 25 things. And you think busyness means you're effective. Stop starting a whole bunch of stuff and then you don't know what to do with it because God didn't tell you. If God don't speak, don't move. I don't care how fine he is. I don't care if he got hazel brown eyes. Start to say hazelnut eyes, but I don't know. I don't care how fine he is. I don't care how sweet. I don't care if sugar falling from his lips when he talk. Now, some of y'all look at me like, now, I don't know, bitch, if I can handle that one now. I was with you with the eyes. When the sugar start falling from his lip, now, I don't know. I love preaching to y'all. I love God. You don't love God? What's wrong with you? I don't care if he got hazel brown. I don't care what he driving. Don't be worried about what he driving. Worry about what's driving him. And all, what I'm trying to say is I don't care how fine he is. If God don't tell you to marry him, don't marry him. Wait on the Lord. Because Lord trying to tell you, them hazel eyes is contacts. You marry that cat and discover he got black eyes. Ah! Where did my man go? I wanted my children to have brown eyes. Now, that ain't no attack on people who wear contacts. Serious. Wear your contacts. I mean, that's what they're there for. Get whatever color that floats your boat. I'm just talking to the people who trying to marry you because color your eyes. What was number three? Oh, yeah. Listen, y'all, you got to get this because you're going to encounter some things along the way that's going to require you to know what to do. Okay? All right. Now, close your Bibles. And listen, let me tell you now. God loves people. Okay? God ain't in love with race. God don't love African American. He don't love Caucasian. He don't love Asian. He don't love Native American. He don't love Hispanic and any other nationality that I may have forgotten. God loves people. God don't love class. God loves people. God loves the man that makes $1 million, and God loves the man that makes $100. God loves the man that makes $100 an hour, and God loves the man that makes $10 an hour. God loves the man that lives in a $2 million home, and God loves the man that lives under the bridge. God loves people. And if we join the party of no matter what the affiliation is, where you got to choose to love people by race, origin, creed, or class or status, then you have moved away from God. Because God doesn't love you based on your category. God loves you because his son died for you. Okay? So in the midst of all that we do, in the midst of all of you support and who you support, when you find yourself having to lean where it forces you to choose which people you're going to be with, you have really kind of missed God. I'm a registered Democrat. I'm entitled to that. But that don't mean I don't love Republicans. That don't mean I don't love independents. If President-elect Donald Trump came into this church and walked right in these doors, I wouldn't be like, man, get that cat out here, man. That cat's a joke, man. No. What if he came through those doors and he came not to influence, but he came to be influenced? It will never happen if I can't separate him from what he needs to be. Hold it. And this is where we are. It's not just the White House. We do this to each other. How in the world can white people talk about white people when white people are racist against their own people? How can black people talk about black people when they're racist against their own black people? How can Hispanic people talk about Hispanic people and other people when they're racist against their own people? We all got our classes. You know, you live on this side of the track because you're black. You live on that side of the track because you're black. You drive this because you're white. You drive that because you're white. You have this because you're Hispanic. You have that because you're Hispanic. You have that because you're... And we are prejudiced among our own. You don't have, listen, you don't even have room to judge another race because your own race is struggling. We're struggling and we need ministry all around us. So if I just walk around blinded, oh Lord, look what they done to me. When I got my own people doing it to me too. But I don't see what my own people are doing because I gotta have somebody to blame. But Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And God ain't telling me to stop being a loving pastor because who I wanted to be the president ain't gonna be the president. And I ain't no bad pastor because I voted for Hillary. And I ain't no demon because I voted for the Democrat. And I ain't got no devil because I didn't vote for Donald. I'm a man of God if it goes my way. And I'm a man of God if it doesn't go my way. Now I've spoken to my children, and I've given you the word of God. I'm giving you my heart. And I want to say this to y'all. I love you. I respect you. I appreciate you. And I will hear all of your concerns, but I'm not going to let you hate nobody. It's not going to happen. I'm not going to let you hate your boss that fired you, because the truth of the matter is you would have never got the next promotion if that last boss hadn't fired you. And if I let you turn what he or she did into hate, then you cancel your promotion at the next level. I'm not going to let you hate the teacher that didn't give you an A when you were that close to getting it. And I'm not going to let you hate the pastor of the last church you were a part of because you didn't like the way things went. Because whatever hatchet you cut another preacher with, if I bring you in, as soon as you get upset with me, you'll cut me with the same hatchet. Everybody stand. Boy, I'm feeling, whoa, Lord Jesus. Whoo-wee. Pastor Johnson, I'm telling you, I'm feeling like God is in control. I'm feeling like God is in control.
Charles Millett Ministries would like to thank you for listening to this message. We pray that the favor of God continues to elevate your life. Our mission is to get clear, get focused, and get moving. If you want more information about our ministry, please contact Christian Provision Ministries at 919-774-9462 or visit us online at www.christianprovision.com.